Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Dasa in Midwood in non-hipster Brooklyn, wishing the Brian Lehrer Show a happy 25th anniversary. You're listening to 25 years and 25 days on WNYC.
Today, it's 2012.
There's a lot of power outages. Half of Sheepshead Bay and Marine Park seem to be in the dark.
My front yard is a raging ocean.
New details are emerging about that deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi.
I went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women.
Barack Obama has been reelected the 44th president. Listen to the crowd out in Times Square.
There is the wheel of the rover safely on the surface of Mars.
Lynn puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lynn from downtown! And the Knicks take the lead!
Remember Lynn Sanity and those other voices and stories from 2012? And in 2012, the Nobel Peace Prize went to the European Union for more than 60 years of peace and reconciliation. Argo won Best Picture. The Tony for Best Play, Clybourne Park, by Bruce Morris. The Pulitzer Prize for Fiction was not awarded in 2012. Remember that? No novel was deemed worthy. And among the books that made it to number one on the New York Times nonfiction bestsellers list, Drift, by Rachel Maddow, Ameritopia, by Mark Levin, The Passage of Power, by Robert Caro, the LBJ book, The Amateur, by Edward Klein, about President Obama, and Obama's America by Dinesh D'Souza, as right-wing anti-Obama books continued to sell well. Also Wild by Cheryl Strayed that year, and Imagine by Jonah Lehrer, no relation. And in 2012, Hurricane Sandy blew into town, scaring adults and children alike.
Well, the wind started blowing really bad, and we had to put tape on windows and stuff. But Emma was with his mommy and daddy, so Emma asked a lot of questions and learned a lot about what was happening.
What kind of question did you ask? Do you remember any of them?
Well, the wind ever stopped blowing.
Yeah, that's a good question, because the wind is scary, right, Elmo? The sound of the wind is scary.
Yeah, because the windows were moving and stuff, but they said yes. It will calm down and everything will be okay. Emma wants to say if Elmo's friends out there, if they don't have electricity, it will be on very, very soon. And be careful out there.
Yes, that was Elmo with Dr. Rosemary Trulio and me in our special coverage on the night that Sandy blew in. So in our then and now frame, 2 years later, there are still families not back in their homes. The subways are still being repaired in some cases. But we are going to talk about progress in one particular area for this segment. The city recently announced big changes to its disaster preparedness plans to fix the problems that came to light during both Sandy and Hurricane Irene for New Yorkers with disabilities. And joining me to talk about the changes and the settlement in court is Susan Duha, Executive Director of the Center for the Independent of the Disabled New York, or CIDNY, one of the two groups that sued the city. Susan Duha, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And remind us of what Sandy was like for some New Yorkers with disabilities and why this wound up in court.
Sandy was a horrifying time for people with disabilities who were locked out of shelters, who couldn't get out of their high-rises to get food, water, services, or medicine, who couldn't use transportation that everyone else used to evacuate, and couldn't get life-saving information that they needed. But now we can look forward to some important changes as the result of our landmark victory in our civil rights lawsuit.
My understanding is the lawsuit was actually filed in response to Irene, but I'm guessing Sandy got the suit taken even more seriously?
Absolutely. Actually, it's nearly 25 years after the passage of our federal civil rights law, the Americans with Disabilities Act. And while it is 2 years post-Sandy, it's 3 years post-Irene and 13 years after 9/11. And throughout this entire period, we've been advocating for inclusion of people with disabilities in emergency planning and disaster response.
And I want to open the phones on this, and again, through our then and now frame, if you have a disability, especially relevant to being evacuated in an emergency, give us a call and tell us, what have Irene and Sandy taught you personally about how you need to be prepared for the next something like that? And from a city policy perspective or even a national policy perspective, what do you need? What do you hope this lawsuit settlement, which we'll go down the particulars of, will actually provide? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call here in 25 years and 25 days, 2012, as we follow up on people with disabilities during Sandy. And I want to play a clip from the show that was about a year after Sandy. And in fact, Susan, you were the guest in November of last year after an initial ruling by a federal judge that the city violated the Americans with Disabilities Act in disaster response. And this caller actually was telling a story more about a snowstorm than Sandy itself. But it could have been about people during Sandy, and it was so emotionally on point and I think factually on point about the situation that some people are in. Let's listen.
I worked for a city-funded agency that looked after, cared for frail elderly people throughout the city. And during one of, and we're mandated to call all of our clients when there is a disaster, an emergency, to see if they're okay. But there's no mechanism to take care of them if they're not okay. There's no funding. There's no nothing. So there was a huge blizzard a couple of years ago. A 90-year-old woman called, can't get out of her house, of course, has no food, the usual story. And now what am I supposed to do? I mean, eventually I found a Domino's pizza. The guy delivered her a pizza to last her a weekend until we could get to her. I mean, there's, you know, there's no way to sort of deal with the people when you do call them and say, you know, there's a heat wave. Are you okay? You know, like.
So that social worker named Julia who called the show in November of last year, and Susan Duha brought up such an interesting distinction that while city policy provided for her agency to check on people with disabilities in their home, if they said they were stranded or in trouble in some way during some kind of emergency, there was no protocol for actually doing anything about them. Is that part of what's in this settlement?
Absolutely. We're so excited that now the city is going to be creating a post-emergency canvassing operation that is going to be able to reach out and survey households after a major disaster to assess and identify critical needs. We saw a lot of people after Sandy who were essentially trapped in high-rises and couldn't get out. And although there were resources on the ground at central hubs, those resources didn't reach people who were stranded in their high-rises.
Murray,
we expect to see this fully operational by 2017.
Aha. All right. Let's talk about another of the main changes before we get to some phone calls that the city announced to its planning as part of this settlement. There will now be a disability and access and functional needs coordinator. That'll make my head spin. What does that actually mean, and what would that person actually do that'll make a difference to real human beings in their homes?
We are very excited that finally there will be a high-level person with expertise on the Americans with Disabilities Act and its implications for planning, who will be able to work in a collaborative way with the disability community, who will be brought on to a disability community advisory panel, and who will help oversee the planning that's necessary in order to comply with federal law.
Murray in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Murray.
Hello. Yes, I was telling your
screener. And Murray, do me a favor, turn your radio off because we're getting a 7-second delay loop there. Go ahead.
Hold on.
Yep. So we'll just give Murray a second here, or
yes,
we might maybe go to the next caller and come back to him. But Murray, you're back, right? Okay, go ahead.
Yes, during Sandy, everything went out. We live in Manhattan, it's called, it's the Peter Cooper area.
Yep, Lower East Side,
Well, if you want to call it that,
well,
fine.
Stuyvesant Town area,
We lost everything, all power, telephone. We were totally isolated for 4 days and 4 nights. We did get a little drip of water. We're on the eighth floor, and we used that water to cook a little bit because we did have a gas range.
And was the,
really
is there
totally isolated.
A disability factor in your story and your situation
at
that time?
Well, yes, I'm physically disabled. I'm in a wheelchair. My wife is also disabled due to a fall, and we were stuck in our apartment.
So what would help you next time that you could not access last time?
Well, some way to get the telephone working. You know, with my batteries.
So that's one thing.
Yeah.
Communication, telephone.
And some kind of a registry. So people, you can check on somebody.
Well, there will be help coming to you from this decision. For one thing, you can get help evacuating and going to a place that will be safe and will have the resources that you need. In the past, the shelters haven't been accessible or usable by people with disabilities. And there will be a high-rise evacuation plan to help you get out of that eighth-floor space and get you to a safe and accessible shelter that will meet federal civil rights law. And if you cannot leave and you are in your apartment, there will be people coming after the disaster to assess, to identify your needs, and to get you the food, the water, the care, the equipment that you need. And so that will be a very different experience for you.
And Murray, good luck. I hope it actually is, and I appreciate your call, and good luck to you and your wife. I see that another provision of the settlement is that there will be specific plans for evacuating high-rise apartment buildings where people were trapped without elevator service. What specifically would be new there in a Sandy-type situation?
Well, New York is a vertical city, and when Sandy struck and the power went out, many people were trapped in high-rises, and for many of them, there was no water, there was no electricity. We had people whose equipment then could no longer work. I'm thinking of Melba Torres, who came forward and testified at trial about the fact that her power chair couldn't operate, so essentially she was trapped in bed. People like Nick Dupree and Alejandra Ospina, who needed to get batteries charged to keep Nick's respirator going. People like Kenneth Martinez, who ultimately had to be evacuated to a hospital because he couldn't get the resources he needed. As a result of our landmark decision, a high-rise building evacuation task force is going to be coming together and using experts to develop a high-rise evacuation plan for people with disabilities so that we will no longer be stranded in high-rises in the event of a disaster.
Let's try Bernie in Jersey City again. Actually, Bernie, if you're listening to me, I think you're on your speakerphone and you're listening to the radio in the background, so turn off the radio and pick up your handset, and we're going to take your call here in just a minute, Bernie in Jersey City, if you're hearing me say that to you. I see another provision, Susan, is that all shelters will now have to make themselves wheelchair accessible. I'm shocked that that's not already the case under the Americans with Disability Act, but what would be new there?
Yes. You should be shocked, because many of those shelters are also in our public schools, and many of the places used as shelters are also used as voting sites, and they should have been made accessible over the last 25 years. But now the city has committed that by the end of September 2017, there will be a minimum of 60 accessible shelters, not just accessible for people with wheelchairs, but with accessible materials for people who have trouble seeing, with help for people who have trouble hearing or people who are deaf, with assistance for people with psychiatric and cognitive disabilities, to really make the shelter system welcoming for all New Yorkers. And we're going to see those accessible shelters all over the city, and they'll have a capacity to deal with more than 100,000 people.
Now I think that's great news. That is really great news.
It is fantastic.
Bernie in Jersey City is ready to go now, I think. Hi, Bernie.
Yes, I'm here, and I'm a heart patient, a kidney patient. I'm in dialysis right now, and I was in Jersey City. Could this law extend to the other states? Because I was trapped for 9 days, and I almost froze to death because no heat, no electricity. And
Bernie, what an ordeal.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you called.
And one of the reasons that I wanted to make sure to get Bernie's call on and gave him that personal shout-out to get his phone set up in the right way is because he is in Jersey City, that he's not in New York City, which is
right.
The entity that had this settlement with the federal government to be more prepared to help people with disabilities during the next emergency like Sandy. This is under the federal Americans with Disabilities Act. So are we going to have to go city by city, New York City separately, Jersey City separately, Newark, Hartford, Chicago, et cetera, in order to get the Americans with Disabilities Act sufficiently enforced to be ready for the next Sandys, which will happen at anywhere at any time?
Well, my hope is that jurisdictions all across the nation will be looking at this decision and proactively engaging the issues and with their communities and remedying the problems that we've seen here in New York. I know that our attorney in the case, Disability Rights Advocates, is interested in helping jurisdictions in other areas understand the implications of the decision for them and act on the decision before they have to be sued. We were very, very fortunate to have the help of a national disability legal organization, Disability Rights Advocates, and a firm, Shepherd Mullen, who have really now developed a lot of expertise in addressing these issues of civil rights violations by state and local jurisdictions with respect to emergency planning. So I know that information about this decision is posted on our website, www.sidney.org. And we are being called on by FEMA to speak with people all across the nation about the implications of the decision, not just for New York, but for their local jurisdictions. So I'm very strongly hoping that this decision will change the quality of emergency planning and disaster response all across our country.
And I want to ask you one final question before you go, because this conversation is taking place in the context of our 25 Years in 25 Days series. And through this 25-year lens, this lawsuit was grounded in the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. Yes, we covered it on the show in 1990 when the Americans with Disabilities Act was first passed. But we haven't done it as a separate in this series. We did something else linked to 1990. But for a minute, 24 years later, I wonder if you can take a minute to reflect on the scope of the change that that law has made in the lives of the people you advocate for.
It's been a phenomenal change for people with disabilities, but we still have a long way to go. Many people who were doomed to lives in institutions now are living actively in the community and working in workplaces all across our nation. Many people with disabilities are going to schools in classrooms shared with their non-disabled fellow students. People with disabilities are teachers, are doctors, are lawyers, and we are proud of our contributions to civic life. Some of us are even in Congress. We have changed the way transportation works for people with disabilities, and we've changed requirements for housing for people with disabilities. But the sad reality is that many people with disabilities, far too many, nearly one in three, are still living in deep poverty on a long-term basis. People are still facing inferior access to transportation, to housing, to employment, to healthcare particularly. And so we have a long way to go.
Susan Duha, Executive Director of the Center for the Independence of the Disabled, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Brian, it's a pleasure.
And this has been 25 Years and 25 Days for 2012. And we'll go out, as we've been doing, with the number one Billboard song of the year. And for 2012, it was Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier featuring Kimbra.